Hello, Mariana Alves Pereira. You're a professor with Lusofona University in Lisbon, Portugal.
Yes.
Is it rightly pronounced?
Yes, Lusofona. Great.
Nice to have you here in Helsinki.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So, you have studied biomedical engineering, and you have a doctorate degree on environmental sciences. Why did you choose this field of science in the first place?
Well, in 1988, I started working at the Portuguese Air Force as a technical translator. And on the Air Force base, there was an on-site biomedical research team. And so that's how it began. In 1988, I started translating. Then I always had an interest in physics. So I went to do my bachelor's degree in physics in the United States, I already was involved with the low frequency noise problem. And so since 1988.
Yep. So your expertise is vibroacoustic disease, and you have studied this extensively. In Finnish, it's called vibroakustinen oireyhtymä. What does this mean?
Well, vibroacoustic disease is still a very controversial subject in today's world because it is caused by an agent of disease that is not recognized, specifically infrasound and low frequency noise. When you have long-term exposures to infrasound and low frequency noise, you can develop what is called vibroacoustic disease.
How does one know if they have this disease? What are the symptoms, and how does it present itself?
Well, it depends if you have occupational exposures or if you have residential exposures. So when you are at work and you are exposed to this sort of noise, let's call it noise, at the end of the work day, you go home. And this means that your body has a recuperation time. When you have infrasound and low frequency noise in your home, you have no recuperation time and you are sleeping in it. So usually the people who have infrasound and low frequency noise in their homes begin by saying, "I wake up tired." You see, when you live in one of these homes, it's not a zapping. You know, you walk into the home for the first time, you don't feel anything. Oh, this is fine, this is great. After a few months, you realize you're not sleeping well. And then with not sleeping well comes problems of memory, problems of concentration. Added to that, as you continue to stay in this home, you can develop gastrointestinal problems, you can develop skin problems. But again, initially, all the symptoms are related to lack of sleep. You may hear a sound, you might not, you feel a pressure on your chest, sometimes you feel a pressure on the ears. So it's not specific, do you understand? It's not like measles. Measles, you have red dots, you know exactly what it is.
Very easy to
notice. In fact, in some cases that we have studied, many people don't even know what it is. And they say, "Oh, I don't feel well today. I must have eaten the wrong thing at dinner, or I drank too much," or something like this. But then it continues and continues. If you are older, you think, "Oh, this is aging. I'm getting old. This is what old means." What usually happens is when these people leave the home and go on vacation, they feel better. And so that is when they begin to realize there's something in the home.
Okay. So what causes this?
Well, when you have, I know we all want to talk about wind turbines.
Yes, sure.
But you have to understand that the problem of infrasound and low frequency noise exists for 30, 40 years before wind turbines. And wind turbines are the last in a very long list of things that can cause infrasound and low frequency noise into the home. So specifically with the wind turbines, since the coming of the wind turbines, infrasound and low frequency noise has come up to the surface again.
What other, besides wind turbines, could cause such an effect?
For example, air conditioning systems in cities. Mm-hmm. In Amsterdam, there is a woman who has hung the bed from the ceiling, mm-hmm. because otherwise everything is vibrating, because they put a very big compressor outside of the apartment building, and she cannot do anything. I have a building, a six apartment building in Lisbon, only one is inhabited. All have left because they can't stand the noise. There, the problem might be kitchens. There are very big industrial kitchens underneath, and they are vibrating into the home. So you see, wind turbines are just the last of a very long list. There's that caused this.
So how can one test this, whether this problem is medically there.
So our group started researching this in 1980 in occupational environments. From 1980 to 2000, so for roughly 20 years, we found which are the most relevant diagnostic tests for this sort of pathology. When in around 2000s started to come the complaints of people living in the homes, not occupational, people, we didn't believe it in the beginning. And after, we gave the people the same tests that we gave the workers, and they came up positive. So if you suspect that you may be being affected by infrasound and low frequency noise, there are two important tests to have. One is called the lung function test with the PCO2 respiratory drive. This is a lung function test normal. You breathe into a tube. But then they do another test, which is not part of the routine. You must ask for this extra test. And that test, it evaluates, at the end, it evaluates if you have brain lesions in a particular area. In our people, the people who are exposed to infrasound and low frequency noise, this test comes up positive for brain lesions. That's one test. But it's not a common test. Yeah. It's not a common test that everybody, it's not like cholesterol or X-ray, you know. That is one test. The other test is called, it's a cognitive test. It tests your brain. And it tests the time it takes for your brain to react to a stimuli. In people who are exposed to infrasound and low frequency noise at their age, they have cognitive impairment that would be expected in older people, you see. So these are two tests that can be done.
Is it also possible to measure just the sort of mechanical effect of the infrasound without sort of doing a medical test, but just a physical test in the environment?
You mean measure the actual noise?
Yes.
But then we have a problem. Because, you see, historically, we all know that noise can cause hearing damage, right? You can become deaf. With too much noise exposure. So historically, we wanted to protect people's hearing only. So science developed what is called the DBA, which I'm sure you've heard of. It's the unit that measures noise, DBA. And this DBA focuses exclusively on the part that we hear. So anything outside of the part that where we hear very well, the DBA will not measure. And yet, it is the DBA that is used to measure infrasound and low frequency noise. So this is scientifically invalid. I will give you one example. At 10 hertz, which is infrasound, you cannot hear it. If you measure with DBAs, the difference between what you measure on the machine And what is actually there at 10 hertz, 70 dBs is the difference. So imagine you have your car, a speedometer, and there's 70 kilometers per hour difference. So
a human ear isn't a good test whether the vibration exists or not.
Yep. No. It's just like the human eye is not good for seeing X-rays.
Yes, or ultraviolet.
Or ultraviolet.
So both ends sort of...
On the middle is visible, but on the both ends we don't see.
Not visible or hearable by human, but still existent.
It's still there.
Yeah. So in Finland, we have had a little bit of public discussion about wind turbines and their health effects. The public broadcasting company Yleisradio has a couple of years ago interviewed a family living very near to a wind turbine sort of area, and it's quite similar, the symptoms that you just described. However, the wind power, of course, is regarded as a very environmentally friendly way of producing power, so many people are not that eager to investigate the possible health effects. So what is the cause of this reluctance? Have you found it elsewhere?
Well, as I say, I've been studying infrasound and low frequency noise for 30 years. And this reluctance was found way before wind turbines. You see, I know we are all very focused on wind turbines, but if you recognize that infrasound and low frequency noise is a problem with wind turbines, then it's also a problem in all the other places, right? Road traffic, work environments. And then all of a sudden, we're back with asbestos, right? Right? When everybody knew that it was bad, there was no economically viable alternative, so we just kept on using it with people getting sick. Well, there's no viable alternative.
And once it's everywhere, well, it's everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere.
Difficult to remove.
But now what are we doing? We're removing it all.
One piece at a time.
So you see, but more importantly, with asbestos and also with hearing impairment, there are a lot of workers' compensation once the problem is recognized. So can you see how many workers in our world who are exposed to infrasound? Metro, bus drivers, pilots, all these people who are exposed, bus drivers, to infrasound and low-frequency noise will have a cause of action. You see? And then there's more, because, for example, everybody knows many studies done about the health of people around airports, right? Oh, they have more hypertension, and they have more cardiovascular disease, and they have more suicide and depression. Oh, it's terrible, right? But then they measure the noise in dBA, and they don't realize that around airports, the problem is infrasound and low-frequency noise, you see? So once we recognize it for wind turbines, it's going to open the floodgates for all these people to come and, oh, well, if it's bad for them, it's bad for me, and look, I have the tests, I'm also sick. You see, it's very complicated. It's not an easy, there's no easy solution.
In airplanes, everyone understands that the turbine racing, I don't know how many miles per hour, but or miles per second, but it of course generates a huge sort of impact to the or air pressure, and this is not the most safe place to live for anyone, everyone. But the sort of what's astonishing in Finland, I'll always get back to the wind turbine issue.
No, that's fine.
We have these sort of old romantic small-sized windmills. Everyone loves them, but
the sails.
In the recent years, as Finnish people are good at constructing metallic things and placing them everywhere, we now have these sort of industrial scale wind turbines with a wingspan of maybe 100 of meter, and of course this generates a huge pressure or a vibrating pressure to the air. So is there some or have you found a relation between sort of the size of the whatever is the mechanical structure that is causing the vibration? So is there a relationship between the size and the symptoms?
Not scientifically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What we do know mm-hmm. is that, or what we have observed, mm-hmm. is that people who live near the bigger wind turbines mm-hmm. develop more quickly and more intense health problems than people who live near smaller wind turbines. There's, I cannot tell you, yeah. you know, every 50 meters you have a X increased yes. risk. That would be nice to have yes. that data, but.
Is there a group of people especially exposed to problems like?
To problems due to wind turbines, like health?
Or vibroacoustic disease, but some maybe a professional trade or
well, yes.
group of people.
Yes, yeah. I thought you meant like autistic children.
Okay.
Autistic children and adults, because of their nature, they have a different perception of the world. So. We have had reports where autistic children become extremely affected by wind turbines and so they just run out of the house and leave it. But of course, professionally, there are enormous amounts of groups of professions where people are exposed to this sort of thing. But if it's professional, they go home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So they have a recovery time. Mm. When it's in the home, there's no... You're sleeping in it.
So what should one do if he or she finds symptoms and this is the cause? Are there other possibilities than just move to another location or take a time off from the vibrations?
Well, that's a very complicated question because let me explain. If you can provide yourself with recovery times, then maybe you can, you know, hold on to the situation. When you don't have recovery times, and when there is no possibility of recovery, imagine a person who is a farmer. And so it's not like the person, you know, the farmer, the house is there, and now the wind turbines are there. There's no option for this person but to run. To run. I mean, there is no acknowledgement by public authorities that this is a problem.
Yeah.
It seems to be great to have wind turbines in your backyard, and if you get sick, you're inventing symptoms. It's not true,
yes.
Because also they don't give you the medical tests to prove that you're sick. So it's kind of like a vicious circle, right? I mean,
yes. Here in Finland, we all the time hear that. You have this hypochondria. It's luulosairas in Finnish. So how do you feel about this?
Well, you see,
spit at people's faces.
This is where I, you know, I'm a scientist, and even when one is diagnosed with hypochondria, you need tests. You need tests to show, yes, the guy says he has a pain over here, there's nothing there, there's nothing to justify, it's all in his head. You can't just say that, you have to do tests, right?
Yeah.
So even if the medical community feels that these people may be hypochondriacs, they must give them the tests. Here in Finland, it's hypochondria. In other countries, they call it psychosomatic disease. And in other countries, they call it the nocebo effect. Do you know what this is?
No, never heard of this term.
I'll explain. It's very interesting. You know, you have placebo, right?
Yes,
when
yes,
you are taking, sure. it's nothing, but you think you are getting better, so you get better, right? Placebo.
Yes.
Nocebo is the opposite. Mm. You think you're going to get sick, and therefore you get sick. Mm. It's psychosomatic. It's the same thing. But so hypochondria, psychosomatic, nocebo. In science, if you want to claim any of these situations, you must have the tests to prove it. So where is the medical community?
So, but the regarding the vibroacoustic disc, what is your advice to sort of people affected? What should they do?
Look, again, it depends on why you have it. If you have it because it's in your home, then you should run. Alternatively, you can go to a doctor, demand from the doctor that he give you the tests, the appropriate tests. But if you're living, you cannot, look, even if you want to fight for your house and say, no, you know, this is terrible, I want to stay in my house. Even if you want to fight for your house, you cannot live there. Because or else you would get sicker and sicker and sicker, and then you can't fight. You see, it comes to a point where reading an email is an effort for a whole day. Do you understand?
It's
so you can't.
So taxing, and
that's, it's very taxing. And then you have also, don't forget, you are feeling sick. You know you're not inventing. You know there's something wrong with you, and nobody cares, and everybody around you thinks you're crazy. Even your doctors, who don't give you the tests, but you know. So the way things stand right now, I just tell people, run. Get out of this house, get out of it. If you want to fight for it, fine. Go live elsewhere while you do the fighting for the house. But there's no option that these people have. And you know, it's all sometimes very easy to say, oh, you should leave your house. That's very difficult sometimes.
Yes.
It's very difficult. So people are put into impossible situations, impossible situations. I have cases where people buy a recreational vehicle, you know, a camper, and on the bad days, they just go out of the house in the camper. There are other people who have completely abandoned their homes, and they're living in bad conditions compared to the home they had. But you know, there is no law for this. The medical community is not behind the people. I don't know what they're doing exactly. The politicians are all for this. So if you have this in your house, unless you have endless amounts of money, and let me just say that even won't work. In Portugal, we have a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it started in 07, and there were four wind turbines very close to the home. The four were between 200 and 800 meters. So the man, starting in 2007, went to the courts, the first court, the second court, the third court. 2013, the Supreme Court said, no, it must come down, the four. They came down, but you know what? During the time from 2007 to 2013, the wind developer continued to put more. And the case was only for those four. So those four came down, but now he has all the others. The closest one today is 600 meters. And all the money was spent.
Yes.
So, run.
Yes. So, if one would suspect of having these symptoms because of the wind turbine, so what would be a good distance or sort of a safe distance where one should relocate, at least temporarily? Is it 10 kilometers, 2 kilometers?
Science doesn't know.
How much?
Science doesn't know.
I personally
would not live 20 kilometers away
20
from them.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
We have, in our field work in science, we have identified the wind turbine acoustic signature in a home 12 kilometers away from the closest wind turbine. We are currently analyzing data from 8 homes and around the same wind development, and but the 8 homes vary on distance between 1 kilometer and 23 kilometers. We are still analyzing this to see what we can only compare with same wind direction and same wind speed. So it's you see, so we don't know. And I know that certain countries have, it has to be 10 times the height of the wind turbine, or 5 times that. They're pulling it out of a hat, because unless it's for flicker, do you know flicker effect? So distance, you can, you know, calculate the height of the wind turbine and the distance for avoiding flicker effect, not noise. Not noise. Yeah. That's they're pulling it out of a hat.
Different thing. Yeah. Okay, this is highly interesting. You have a tight schedule here in Finland. What are you going to do next here?
Oh dear, I'm going to do 2 seminars. Please don't ask me the names of the places where
I
I'm
heard
going.
Pori.
It's near Pori. Yeah. It's not in Pori. And then another place on Sunday.
Okay.
And that's it, and I'll be speaking to whomever wants to speak to me.
Yes. Yeah, the western coast has very much of the wind turbines, so I think you'll hear stories from our side. But Mariana Alves Pereira, thank you for your
You're very welcome.
For
thank
your
you
visit
for having
here.
Me.
Thank you.
Thank you.